Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 532. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
Hi, Mitchell.
Hi, Amy.
We're like snuggled.
I know.
Don't you feel like being like a hot cocoa? What the fuck is going on in
Why
Chicago?
Why is it like 65 like, degrees in July?
It's like Halloween.
It does feel like fall weather. But I'm wearing a sweatshirt, full-on sweatshirt.
It's the coldest weekend in July history in like 3 decades or something.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I mean, I woke up this morning and the newscaster said, better dig out those, you know, zipped up hoodies for the...
I know.
I was like, what?
I know. Everybody's been saying hoodies and I'm like, after the Trayvon, I'm kind of like, are we throwing that word around?
Right,
with,
I know.
With quite the same,
I'm wearing one. I know.
But yeah, it's chilly.
It's chilly.
It's very, very chilly. And much has transpired, so I'm so excited to have you on the show, a couple of times here in the month of August.
Awesome.
Before you head away, you're going to go away for a little bit this month.
I'm going away, yeah.
And you've been away a lot.
I have. I know. I've been traveling a lot.
It's like...
Well, you've been traveling a lot, too. We've barely seen each other this summer.
I know. We have really... We are ships passing. We've had like... We've barely even had yard time together.
It's so difficult.
We're time sharing the grill outside.
We're time sharing. I know you can even come. I know. It's just so difficult having such a fabulous life. I'm just kidding. That's just a bit.
It's true.
It's like my friend. I have this really funny friend, Sarah, and she'll like come up to me and she'll be like, she'll like be pouty, like she's upset. And I'm like, what's the matter? She's like, oh, I just look really skinny today. Like it's a bummer.
I wish I looked really skinny today.
Well, that's her bit.
I know. Well, you know, in the last show, I was able to sit down with the publicist for the city of Chattanooga, Tennessee, my hometown, and
only you get
I
only
know.
You do that.
It's weird.
Who does that?
You know, what's really cool is that with Windy City Gay Idol this year, I was working with kind of the team of people that help promote Toronto, and when I was talking to them and setting them up, because they were our prize package city this year, because they're really promoting World Pride coming next year to Toronto, which is awesome. And we'll be talking about that a lot, I'm sure, in the next 12 months. But in talking to them, I was like, this is so amazing, but you're in New York. And so, you know, you work for different cities to promote the cities. And they said, yes, we do. And I was like, well, who all do you work for? And they're like, you know, hundreds of cities, but we have, you know, some that we work with a lot. And I said, you know, to help promote and just encourage tourism. And I said, well, who do you work with? And within the fifth person place that they listed internationally, they said, and we're actually working with Chattanooga, Tennessee a lot. And I was like, how funny is that? A, because I'm from East Tennessee, I'm from outside of Chattanooga, and And I'm going there. I'm planning this trip. And they said, oh, that's wonderful. Well, if you need any help planning your trip, you know, we can put you in touch with our people in Chattanooga. And then there was a an opportunity that the team from Chattanooga was here in Chicago. So last week's show, where I sat down with Candace Davis from Chattanooga, you know, we just hung out here in Andersonville and had breakfast and and talked about Chattanooga. And what was great was...
I am not chatting with the PR person from Cranston, Rhode Island.
I know you're not.
I mean, I'd like
you
to.
You know, though, but you go back and you take people there all the time.
I do.
I do go back, but, you know, when I go back, it's so focused... you know, I'm from a small town called Cleveland outside of Chattanooga. And, you know, and when I was there, as Candace said, you know, Chattanooga, when I was growing up, was declared, you know, as one of the dirtiest cities in the United States. And so huge pollution,
right.
Huge problems. And so really what started like 30 years ago was they set a plan. And the past 25 years, they've been implementing that plan. The past 30, you know, 3 decades.
To clean that shit up.
To clean the city up, to really green the town. And what happened was they, because it was a great thing for the area that they went, we have all these beautiful things. We have rivers and we have mountains and, you know, it's really beautiful there. If for those of you who've traveled maybe internationally more than you've even traveled here, you know, it looks a lot like Germany. And so it's, they've just now, based on a lot of their work they've done, and because they were into greening a town long before most other even really, you know, cities that weren't being called the dirtiest city, you know, 3 or 4 decades ago, they started their greening project so long ago that now they are one of the most amazing outdoor places to be, as Candace said.
Did you spend time outdoors?
Oh, we spent so much time outdoors. And it's just really like it has revitalized this city to going back there with a new set of eyes. I was just, I was really, really overwhelmed. And it's a very young, hip, well thought out, great place to go. And also now so much economy and business and job is going there. Because other people recognize what it is. Tennessee also doesn't have any state tax, so businesses love that.
Wow.
And
I did not know that.
Yeah. And so in
there's
the past...
There's no tax on clothes in Rhode Island.
Oh, well, there you go.
See?
Well, you can have some nice fashions. but what's really, really cool is that, you know, Volkswagen declared, you know, and finally has built and is producing a plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee, the first plant outside of Germany that they ever, and they said they picked it.
Because it looked like Germany?
Because it looked like Germany.
Amazing.
So now you like fly into the little Chattanooga airport, which is quaint and cute and easy to get in and out of. You know, there's, you know, Willkommen, and there's like Volkswagen German stuff everywhere, you know. They also just.
And you know, I love me some Germans.
Yeah, they're very clean, neat, tidy, and.
Blonde, blue-eyed, square jaw,
leathery.
Ooh, I like it.
Leather. And you know, also there's an enormous solar panel manufacturer there. Amazon just moved their businesses right outside of Chattanooga that create all of their boxes, all of the boxes for all the little Amazon boxes you get when you order from Amazon or coming from there. So there's just enormous amounts of commerce going there, and not to mention tourism. So anyhow, I'll talk more later on in the show a little bit about what, you know, what I got to do that Candace recommended last time, and maybe I'll entice you because, and others to pop down there because it's, especially from Chicago, nonstop on American, hour and 20 minutes, you're there.
Wow.
You're there, easy little airport. I have to say that airport generally runs extremely on time, actually heading from here to there.
How long does it take to drive?
I always get in easy, early, 9 hours.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful drive. You can either go through Nashville or you can go through Knoxville. It depends on if you go straight down or if you go farther through Kentucky and some of the areas I know you've spent some time in. And go more mountainous. But yeah, so it's a great city to go as a single person with friends. Great city to go on a romantic little trip.
Nice.
And I also think great family trip. And you know, literally 3 nights and you can do so much. Long weekend. It's a nice little long weekend from this part of you know, this part of the Midwest. So. So we'll talk about that later on the show. But one of the things I wanted to follow up on is just that, you know, we've really followed because of your friendship with Mike O'Malley and Mike O'Malley's family from Glee. We haven't really gotten to talk about the fact of Corey Monteith's passing and, you know, the tragedy that that is. And also just because I know you've been such a big advocate on the show of just talking about young men being, you know, role models, straight young men. Let me say that, you know.
These straight, our straight allies. And it's always been this thing for me because I have so many great young guys in my life because of being in the theater, being in the circus. Yeah. These young men, and then but then the flip side of it is that I worry about young men in our country because we've talked about this before, that I feel like there's often a disconnect with the way in which young men are taught to then be men, right? Boys, how boys become men. And for, you know, from all reports, this was a young man who people loved very much.
Yeah, I
mean, I saw Jane Lynch on Jay Leno couple of nights after it was announced that Corey had died, and you know what people keep reiterating was what a kind dear man and how open and honest. I mean, I guess he had been quite open about his past issues with substance abuse since he was like 16.
Yeah, like he'd really, before he got Glee, you know, he'd kind of cleaned himself up and gotten there, and he, you know, had slipped some but had really caught and got back on. And of course, you know, and I guess let me just say, I don't mean that like, oh, he's not a good role model. I think he was a good role model, and unfortunately, he had addiction,
some demons,
and he had this allergy or addiction, you know, not really had a handle on him. But you know, to leave your legacy being, you know, that show, and
that affected so many people, especially of this generation. I'll tell you a very interesting story about the legacy of Glee that I think is really charming. So Jeff and Julie, my dear friends who own the Midnight Circus, have a daughter who's 6. And
she performs with them.
She does perform with them. And her name is Samantha, and she's really great. And they were in L.A. And Jeff and Julie have these dear, dear friends, Landis and Tim, who are a gay couple. And they're very, very, very successful. So they have just like this big... And so they would say to Samantha, but they live in L.A., so they don't get to see them very often. But they're going to go visit. So they were driving on the way, and Julie thought to herself, I better just sort of tell Samantha, because she's very outspoken, that this is a couple and that they're husbands and that they're men. And it's not that she would be freaked out by that. I mean, one of her, I think one of her school teachers is a lesbian, and she talks about her wife and stuff like that. So she gets it. So she just said, you know, Landis and his husband Tim. And she was like, wait, you mean they're boys and they're married? And Julie's like, yep. And she's like, oh, okay. So they go, Samantha falls madly in love. Like, just to let you know that
she's
like,
already got her gaze at 6 years old.
Right, exactly. And they love her. Like, she's a fabulous little diva. And so they literally each have a closet the size of this room.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And their shoes are in like glass boxes.
Yeah.
And so literally, like, Samantha gay gasp when she walked in the, and so she got all teary eyed when she had to say goodbye. And she just loved them. So they got in the car to drive away, and Samantha said to Jeff and Julie, you know, I love, you know, got a little teary. She's like, I love them so much. I want to see them all the time. Why have you been keeping them from me? And she's like, it's not that we're keeping them, it's just they live in LA. And and then there was a silence, and then you know, Jeff and Julie were really pleased, you know, and as, you know, big allies and and just friends, you know. And so, but then Samantha said, but why do they have to be gay? And Julie was first like, in her head, like, where did she get that word? Like, how does she know what that word means? She's like 6. And so she was like, why do they have to be gay? And Julie at first didn't understand what she meant. Like, she was upset that they were, but what she wasn't upset that they were homosexual. She was upset because she had watched Glee. She had been like at a sleepover or something, and she had watched several episodes of Glee, and the word gay was used to attack, you know, Kurt. Right on the show. And so Samantha thought that the word was bad. Right. So it became, because of Glee and the power of that show and Kurt's relationship with Finn, you know, Corey, and Mike's character, and Julie was able to have this teachable moment with a 6-year-old that she really understood because of Glee, where she said, no, 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 honey, the word gay isn't bad. It's the person using it to try to make someone feel bad. For example, when sometimes your brother, she has an older brother,
right?
Who will say, no, because you're a girl. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not that being a girl is bad. Mm-hmm. It's that Max is being a jerk mm-hmm. and trying to make you feel bad about being a girl, but he's the one who's being a jerk, mm-hmm. not being a girl. Mm-hmm. And so it's so interesting mm-hmm. that the legacy of that show, the legacy of the relationship between Kurt and his dad and Kurt and Finn mm-hmm. and
half brothers, because they've become half brothers,
right, exactly. Is having an effect on our generation. Mm-hmm. And I think his death, like you say, dying of a drug overdose is probably not the best role model.
Yeah, you would think it wasn't, but the way people talk about him.
But he was so loving, and people love him so much. And it does, you know, he was much beloved. And so perhaps the legacy, not just of the show, but the legacy of the ability to talk about some difficult issues mm-hmm. with people because of the affection people have mm-hmm. for him. I just know that the people that I know that are involved with that show, I mean, mm-hmm. I know some of the writers and mm-hmm. and Sheila's cousin Mike and mm-hmm. You know, they're heartbroken. This was a good guy who just mm-hmm. who simply couldn't get past his demons.
Yeah, it's really, you know, it's really, really sad. And I think that you know, it will be very interesting to watch, because they did kind of clean house and some of the characters are leaving. I'm wondering now if they're going to change this and the characters are going to have to come back. I know, but
they said they're going to have like a tribute in like the second or third episode, and then they're going to take a little hiatus.
Well, and they are going to have him die. They're going to have him
die.
They
are. Have they said that?
They're going to have him die on the show so that they can let the kids grieve, and then they will take the hiatus.
Wow.
So it's really going to be, you know, I feel like that's going to be,
you know, really... new chapter.
It is an interesting new chapter, and you know, and interesting that character, who I think it was some editor, it may have been an Entertainment Weekly or someone, who said, you know, a character who always kind of felt like Finn kind of epitomized the good guy that kind of knew like possibly his best years were his high school years. Mm. And so watching him like graduate, it just like broke my heart.
I know,
you know, like who that guy is, you know, that like, I don't know. I mean, I don't think that Corey Monteith felt that. You know, he had this wonderful relationship right. with Leah Michelle that seemed to be very loving right. and very supportive, and he was making movies, two of which are going to come
Ryan
out.
And even Ryan Murphy, I guess, I mean, from all reports, Ryan Murphy was very active in helping.
Well, yeah, because he kept him on the show, you know, found ways for him to stay on the show
last season. Despite the fact that everybody else had graduated.
Yeah, you know. So, I mean, I think it's I don't think he did that out of charity. I think he just gave him a purpose. Right. And, you know, sometimes, right. you know,
if you're battling something like that,
you need a purpose to be in recovery.
There's just lots of lessons about this. There's lots of lessons about addiction. And there's just lots of lessons to be learned from somebody so young. I mean, you know, Heath Ledger and River Phoenix and, you know,
Brad Renfro.
There's just lots of lessons to be learned about.
And these were all kind of what I feel like when you just actually said all four of those men. And I mean, I knew Brad, you know, it's like, obviously, I don't know Corey Monteith. I don't know Heath Ledger. I don't know River Phoenix. When I think about their work, they're really actually very sensitive, open
very
men.
Sensitive.
And it's so sad that like we lost people who were vessels for those kinds of storytelling mm-hmm. opportunities.
I agree
with
you.
And we're willing to
it's
tell those
people,
kind of
James
storytelling
Dean.
Opportunities.
I mean,
yeah. So, you know, what kind of world and environment and society are we living in that doesn't somehow make it safe for that young man to live, and that young man to have his, you know, be able to be that kind of vessel, to be able to have that agency over, this is another story a young man can tell.
And I think it'd be interesting. I'm sort of interested.
Because all around that age of River was probably the youngest.
Yeah, he was really young.
But somewhere mid-20s to not even making it past
getting to 30. I'm so interested in the idea. Like, I'm interested, of course, in like what his story was and like, you know, what his background was. And at the same time, I also think that it's really important that it's private, that it's
absolutely
that it's his family's private life. I mean, there's a part of me, not in a like a salacious way, like I want the gossip, but like just educationally, like what's going on with a young man who has so much success, so we can talk about addiction and the mm-hmm. signs of it and seeing it coming, and but at the same time, I get that. This is some serious grief for a family.
Well, it's interesting that that's actually and maybe I'm wrong, I'm thinking right now, I'm trying to file a fax through it. For those of you who don't know what a file a fax is.
Yeah, right. You just aged yourself.
Going through my hard drive. going through my texts. But, you know, they haven't really dealt with addiction much on Glee. And, you know, yeah, it's interesting that they didn't. I mean, maybe it was too close to Corey to, like, have that be a storyline that he would walk through. But, you know, it's not really a storyline. I feel like they did something on steroids, but with one of the football players, but I can't remember.
Right, because ultimately the show's supposed to be a musical comedy.
But it is, but they've dealt with, like, they've dealt with, you know, everything from texting and driving to pregnancy to to sexuality to homophobia to bullying. I mean, the whole thing is based on bullying. The whole thing is based on their outcast, misfit,
and then, you know,
don't fit in.
Issues with
gender, race, sexuality,
and you know, there's that character with Down syndrome, and you know, sort of being other, you know, in a public high school in that way.
I mean, it is the whole point of it. So, you know, it's interesting that they haven't dealt with, well, how does sometimes you cope when you're the other?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these kids get to have it, they kind of have the awareness, it gets identified, and then it gets solved through music, which I don't think that that's just a simple, I don't think they've dealt with it simply, but that is kind of
the formula,
that's the right word. But, you know, some kids don't cope with it that way. And they actually have dealt with the kid who, didn't the kid kill himself? Didn't the kid who was in love with Kurt, didn't they deal with?
I mean, the bully, that guy was originally bullying, did he kill himself or did he try to kill himself?
He tried to kill himself. I mean, they dealt with some stuff, which is not the... So anyhow, it will be interesting to see if they feel on that show the need for a legacy.
I mean, I get... It's funny because there's a lot of, like, sort of anti-Glee because, you know, maybe it's jumped the shark as, like, a show, you know, outside of Corey and stuff like that, storylines, and maybe it's gone on too long, some people think. But I do think when the current sort of like chapter of queer history is told,
this will have its own serious one.
Yeah, it'll have a mention in the chapter, certainly, you know, because the number of kids who have grown up with Kurt and with these issues, you can't take that back.
It has for sure been a show that has, challenged and brought into 7 o'clock in the Central Standard Time, 8 o'clock.
The relationship between the two girls.
Right, 8 o'clock, you know, Eastern Standard Time, that time of day coming into homes in America, these stories, these children, that you can't avoid looking at them. You know what I mean? You can't ignore them. There is something very, very powerful about that. And I do have to say, I know we've talked about this on past shows, but just the funniest thing, I was when I was in Tennessee, I was home with my folks, and my mom and I were up one night, and I said, you know, I want you to watch this show, The Fosters. And so we were watching it, because I just truly, I'm going to say again, I think it's really one of the best written shows, and the storyline is so great, and you know, they are not dumbing this thing down at all. And what was so funny was, I was like, okay, here's this show that comes on Monday nights, two lesbians, interracial, with 5 children and raising them, and just, and they actually have so many of the issues that are coming up, and yet it doesn't feel soapy. It doesn't feel sudsy. Let's just say that. It's not sudsy.
No, because the acting is really wonderful.
The acting is wonderful, and the writing is great. Kids are gorgeous, but they're actually, you know, good actors. And but then, like, I went upstairs, like, take my shower at night and wash my face or something, or I don't know, do something. I came back down. I hadn't changed the channel, and the 700 Club with Pat Robertson was on ABC Family. And I was like, how interesting. How interesting if your channel doesn't change.
Right, that you're watching both of those things.
You're watching both those things within a 2-hour window. And also, is crazy.
Crazy. Also, can we just, a little tangent about Pat Robertson. Is he off his meds or what? I mean, he's always been such a virulent homophobe, but, like, he is off his fucking rocker now.
He's out there.
Does anybody...
Well, I don't know. There's just these, you know, there's just these fringe rogue people, you know,
I think he's literally off his, rocker.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like, he said something a couple of weeks ago about, like, on Facebook, if you see pictures of two same-sex people kissing, as opposed to a like or an unlike or like thing, he wants a vomit.
Yeah.
Button.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, are you crazy?
He's just. I mean, he's one of those random things. It's like he and the Russians. and what's going on in Russia.
Russia and the Olympics and Stoli vodka. And
yeah, yeah. We may have to talk about that in the next show.
Yeah, think about it, because Stoli's doing this whole contest about the Stoli man, right? They're doing this contest to be like the sexiest vodka drinker in the world with Stoli. And like people are being like, we're not drinking any Russian products. Yeah. Stoli's like, but we support.
Yeah. And actually, Stoli does. They're produced actually in Latvia, which is, you know, not Russia. But at the same time, they've also, I saw the letter from their CEO, Stolichnaya,
yeah,
which said, you know, we support the community. Here's the efforts we have. We always have. You know, we don't condone anything. You
right,
know,
and they
but
also,
at the same time, you know, right, you have to do what you have to do. But we just want you to have all the facts, which
right,
the facts are.
Because they're also the corporate structure of Russia does not work in the same way. I mean, it's narcissistic to think that it works. Like a corporation in America has a power over the government in a way that we are assuming they have a power over the government
yeah,
in Russia. And I just don't think, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't think they do.
I don't think it works that way. I actually don't think they care. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that the government cares.
Right. What this company thinks.
Yeah. Or that people will stop drinking Russian vodka.
No, I think it's only going to hurt this company that's been supportive of
us
and not actually.
I don't know what it's going to do. I mean, I don't have enough information.
No,
I want to gather some more before another show and maybe find somebody to talk to about it too. But definitely, you know, I don't know where, if you're listening to this, where you live, but some of the biggest bars in Chicago, Sidetrack being the largest, have, you know, boycotted this. And obviously, you know, the gay community has been successful in boycotting a lot of things,
yeah,
you know, in the past number of years and decades, and since Harvey Milk and Coors Light was, you know, boycotted and you know, Cracker Barrel and other
right,
things, and some of them have gone on to change their quality standards. I mean, it was the thing that defined and changed a generation for one of our sponsors, American Airlines, and they'll say that's a part of our history, you know, many, 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 many years ago, you know, before there even was an HRC, Human Rights Campaign Quality
right,
Index, you know, American got called on the carpet about something, and they went in and cleaned house, and now they've had the highest rating of any airline.
That's
so sometimes it's a wake-up call. You know, who knows? And sometimes it's not, and they don't care, you know,
yeah,
like Chick-fil-A or somebody else.
It's just interesting when it's cross-cultural, because I don't have enough of an understanding of what the relationship between businesses and government are in Russia.
Yeah, I don't either. We'll try to find somebody and do a little interview on that. And at the time, we'll drink one of our good friends, which is Smirnoff, which is sounds Russian, but has no connection to Russia, not made in Russia, not produced in Russia.
But just if you call it Russian, people will drink it.
It's not Russian at all. And they're one of our big sponsors and sponsored our gay idol. And,
oh, awesome.
Grateful that they're not Russian.
Speaking of, I could use a cocktail.
I think maybe I need a cocktail too. Well, let's sit back and we'll talk about Chattanooga on the way back, and
okay,
we'll have a mint julep.
Yeah,
or
maybe we'll go get a cocktail.
Tanqueray and tonic. Have a little G&T. Yeah. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Jennifer Hudson, and you listen to the Windy City Clearcast.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. In what's been called one of the first cases of its kind, a Belarusian gay man tied the knot with his U.S. partner in Washington, D.C., and will be allowed to stay in the country. Vyacheslav Bortnik, 39, a rights activist from the city of Homel, and Sean Gaylord, 44, a United States lawyer and advisor for a gay advocacy organization, married July 11th. In the wake of the United States Supreme Court's June 26th decision to overturn the Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA, Bortnik will not only be allowed to stay in the United States, but is also now on track to become a U.S. citizen within the next 5 years.
Pope Francis has said gay people should not be marginalized or judged. Just 4 months after he took over from Pope Benedict, he said gay people should be fully accepted in society, even though traditional Catholic teaching stated that same-sex acts were sinful.
A federal judge says he will hear arguments October 1st on the legality of Michigan's ban on gay marriage and adoption by same-sex couples. Two lesbian Detroit area nurses filed the lawsuit. The couple and three adopted children live under one roof in Hazel Park. However, Michigan law bars the women from jointly adopting each other's kids.
Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel has announced that State Rep Deb Mell will replace her father, Richard Mell, as alderman of the city's 33rd ward. She is now the third out alderman on city council and the first lesbian. She joins Tom Tunney and James Kappelman, who are both out gay aldermen.
House Republican leaders announced that they would not be defending remaining statutes similar to the Defense of Marriage Act that ban recognition of same-sex couples' marriages. The judge asked the parties in a lawsuit addressing the rights of service members, veterans, and their spouses to give any reasons why judgment should not enter for plaintiffs in this case, following the Supreme Court's June 26th decision striking down Section 3 of DOMA.
Nate Silver, the openly gay statistician who became famous for his eerily accurate predictions of the outcomes of the past two national elections, has left the New York Times to join sports network ESPN. Silver will take the statistical blog he founded that was co-opted by the Times, 538, with him to the sports giant that the Walt Disney Company owns.
The ACLU has filed a lawsuit on behalf of seven same-sex couples seeking domestic partnership benefits in Montana. The state Supreme Court in December 2012 denied an ACLU appeal that challenged every Montana statute that denied gays and lesbians legal protections afforded to married heterosexual couples.
On July 23rd, California's highest court refused to block the state from sanctioning same-sex marriages while it considers a petition arguing that Proposition 8 remains valid in all but two counties. Without comment, the California Supreme Court rejected the request.
Democratic United States Reps Mark Pocan of Wisconsin and Charlie Rangel of New York introduced legislation on July 25th that aims to help discharged gay veterans clear their military records and access benefits. Pocan, who is openly gay, said the bill would establish a process for veterans to get a timely review on these requests.
New York's iconic gay bar Splash is set to close. The Night Spot, deemed a rite of passage for many young gay men in Manhattan, posted a letter on its website confirming it would shut its doors August 10th. Splash has been open for 22 years.
In world news, a rural township in northern Mexico has elected the country's first openly gay mayor. Benjamin Medrano, 47, will assume office in September in the township of Fresnillo, a region troubled by drug trafficking. Medrano ran for office on a public safety campaign for Fresnillo, whose 230,000 citizens have to deal with police corruption and violence from warring drug cartels.
Jamaican LGBT rights advocates have expressed outrage over the reported murder of a cross-dressing teenager near the resort city of Montego Bay. After 17-year-old Dwayne Jones was discovered to be a male dressed in traditional female garb, a group of partygoers fatally stabbed the teen.
In England and Wales, Sikh temples are stopping all civil ceremonies over same-sex marriages becoming law. Sikhs in England, a specialist advisory body, has told the places of worship to deregister as a venue for civil weddings. Ceremonies that then take place there would have no legal bearing, and couples would have to attend another ceremony in a registry office or other registered venue for a legally binding marriage.
In Moldova, legislators quietly passed a measure similar to Russia's anti-gay propaganda law. The new law does not specifically mention homosexuality, but it would punish anyone who distributes public information at the propagation of prostitution, pedophilia, pornography, or any other intimate relations other than those related to marriage or family.
In entertainment news, in his new book, Stravinsky, Discoveries and Memories, Robert Kraft writes that the same composer, Igor Stravinsky, had several same-sex affairs, including one with French composer Maurice Ravel. Kraft, himself a conductor, was Stravinsky's longtime assistant.
The creative team is in place to turn the hit stripper film into Magic Mike the Musical on Broadway. The producers have set Tom Kitt and Brian Yorkie to write the songs and Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa to write the book. Aguirre-Sacasa recently co-wrote the book for Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, and he's also penned the book of the upcoming American Psycho musical. The Duncan Sheik will premiere in London later this year.
Modern Family actor Jesse Tyler Ferguson married longtime love Justin Nikita in New York City July 20th. Playwright and screenwriter Tony Kushner officiated the ceremony. Attending the nuptials were Isaac Mizrahi, Kat Deeley, Jerry O'Connell and Rebecca Romijn, Zachary Quinto, and co-stars Julie Bowen, Ty Burrell, and, of course, Eric Stonestreet.
Major League Baseball issued a policy to protect players from discrimination and harassment based on their sexual orientation. The new code of conduct will be given to every major league and minor league player and posted in each locker room.
Lady Gaga tops Forbes' list of the highest paid celebrities under the age of 30, bringing in $80 million this past year. Justin Bieber came in second with $58 million, followed by Taylor Swift at $55 million, Calvin Harris with $46 million, Rihanna with $43 million, Katy Perry, $39 million, Adele, $25 million, and actor Jennifer Lawrence with $25 million.
Rita Moreno has been named the 50th recipient of SAG-AFTRA's highest tribute, the SAG Life Achievement Award for Career Achievement and Humanitarian Accomplishment. The 20th Annual Screen Actors Guild Awards, or SAG Awards, will be simulcast live on TNT and TBS on January 18, 2014. Moreno, age 81, has received an Oscar, two Emmys, a Tony, a Grammy, and the Presidential Medal of Freedom and the National Medal of the Arts.
The late comedian Moms Mabley and legendary lyricist slash composer Stephen Sondheim will be profiled in two HBO documentaries this fall. Mabley, who was lesbian, will be the subject of the documentary Whoopi Goldberg Presents Moms Mabley, slated to air November 18th. The film Six by Sondheim, airing December 9th, highlights Sondheim's experiences writing six of his songs, Something's Coming, Opening Doors, Send in the Clowns, I'm Still Here, Being Alive, and Sunday.
And Beth Ditto, the lead singer of the group Gossip, tied the knot with longtime girlfriend Kristen Ogata in Maui, Hawaii. Ditto walked barefoot down the aisle in a white Jean-Paul Gaultier gown. The couple got engaged last year after more than 10 years of friendship.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueercast.com.
All of my heroes sit up straight. They stare at the ground.
So, Mitchell, I went back home.
And I know.
And they say you can never go home. You went home, too. Yeah. I'm going to talk about my home first. And the next show, we'll talk about your home.
Here's my quick question.
Yes.
When you entered home, was there a chorus of boys like Hello Dolly entering the Harmonia Gardens restaurant? Amy, well,
no, but there are lots of homosexuals in the South. That's all I have to say, especially in East Tennessee.
That's so funny. I think the South would like to pretend that there isn't, but there are.
I know, but it's, you know, normally I've met them all up here. We all somehow mostly escape. But now let me just say, you know, spoke with Candace and planned my trip, and this trip was not really, you know, an all-adult, all-the-time vacation. But I have to say, it brought out my inner child, and we did have some kids with us, and a handful of women, and some of them have children, so there were some children. And we had a blast.
Oh, I'm so glad.
The best time, and as I said earlier in the show, I just really encourage, you know, I'm just sharing a little bit about what my summer's been about, and, you know, I don't get any kickback for telling people to go to my home, but I kind of want fabulous GLBT people to go to Chattanooga and to Tennessee because, you know, we still don't have good laws or protections for GLBT people, and I think that will change, obviously, when more people come in contact with us.
Also, so, if what we're talking about is a bottom line here, if we're talking about dollar bills and tourism money, and suddenly the lawmakers in Tennessee recognize that there is money to be made from that's always how it changes.
I think so. You know, I just think that there's not enough pressure in the state of Tennessee. Right. It's extremely, extremely conservative.
Sure, like, to be honest with you, you know, if I had to choose you're telling me this now, and I'm like, wow, this sounds lovely, you know, yeah. what I've been able to glean and stuff. And but because, you know, I think that there is this perception like, well, I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. And I...
But Tennessee is not Jamaica.
No, Tennessee is not Jamaica. Right. And I have to say, you know, I... you know, look, we have to today, even in parts of Chicago, and we live in a pretty much a bubble. You know, my friends right. in Tennessee and elsewhere who don't live in a city like Chicago will say, you know, you do live in a bubble. You know, like right. you live in this, and I choose to live in this yep. bubble. And so, hey, right. that's my choice, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly.
But what I will say is that, you know, even in Chicago late at night.
Glinda lived in a bubble.
Who did?
Glinda.
Glinda. Glinda. And I loved Glinda. I did. She's a redhead too, you know, and I have a little affinity right. for the redheads, the gingers.
The gingers.
You know, I feel like there's times when as gay men or lesbians or trans people, we need to be mindful and not dumb, even in the city of Chicago.
Sure.
You know, like
oh,
when you would
goodness,
hold hands,
yes.
when you would kiss, when
sucks,
you would do
it's
whatever.
Still true. Absolutely.
It sucks, but it's true. It's the reality. And to be naive to that reality, to me, is just not being conscious,
right.
you know, of your own safety or the person that right. you're with and you love or you
I mean,
care
that's
with,
also
or...
true of being a woman. That's
absolutely.
True of being a minority. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you
She's
know.
Sad. Oh, that's a whole other topic.
It is. That's a whole large podcast series of like 10 episodes.
Oh, God.
But, yeah. But let me just say, I feel like the people there, you know, I mean, I'm from there. So it's like the people are friendly. They're warm. They are, you will always get, well, hey, sweetheart, what can I get you? You know, when you're in a business.
Well, lucky when you,
you
talk
know,
Southern.
Exactly. I got real Southern this whole, the whole week there. And, you know, and just, there is a thing about Southern hospitality. There is a slow, so a little slower pace. It's not as slow as some places, but it's a slower pace. And there's just a lot of diversity in this area. Now, there is not a huge amount of racial diversity. You know, full disclosure, I will say that Chattanooga's representative, and I don't think she'll mind me saying this, but Candace Davis is not a Caucasian woman.
Uh-huh.
You know, she is Eastern lineage, East Indian lineage. And, you know, so, you know, there is diversity.
Yeah.
You know, there is a Jewish community in Chattanooga.
I know, I'm
there
always freaked out by Jews in the South. Like driving Miss Daisy, I was like, she's Jewish?
Yeah, and there is some diversity. You know, you're not going to hear multi-culti languages being spoke.
Right,
you
right,
know,
right.
you're going to hear pretty much a Southern accent, no matter what color your skin is or what age you are.
That's so true in Rhode Island, too, just FYI.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like in Chicago, there's so many different sort of variations.
Yeah.
Of Chicago,
yeah.
based on sort of ethnic groups. And
or how long you've lived here.
Right.
Where,
Rhode
how
Island,
many
every
decades.
Ethnic group. Sounds exactly like every other
yeah.
Rhode Islander.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
Island.
That's kind of the South,
I love
too.
It. Yeah.
So that's similar.
Yeah.
But here's what I love about it, and you know what we kind of gleaned from our conversations with Candace, and what we ended up doing was we mixed. Apart from the fact that we saw my family, so there was a little family time there too. We mixed kind of living, you know, being downtown, being tourists, doing the things that are like, what are the things you want to see if you go to Chattanooga, Tennessee? And then we went outside the area and had the outdoor experience. Of being, you know, in an area, the Ocoee River area, which is, you know, where they did the Atlanta Olympic rafting, world class Olympic rapid whitewater experience and hiking and the area around there. So, you know, a little bit of city. I'm using air quotes, city,
right.
Chattanooga
she
city.
Is, people, she is air quoting
it is
right
air
in my
quoting
face.
Right now. And then, you know, country. And it was really a nice blend.
Oh, you country.
So, and I'm country. So let me just tell you what you get from the town. So the Tennessee Aquarium is literally, it is one of the best aquariums I've ever been to. And I've been to Monterey in California. I've obviously been to the Shed. One of the people with us had been to the aquarium in Miami and New Orleans. And you know, one of the moms who had kids, you know, it rained one day, so we chose to do that. And I had wanted to do it the whole time. And she was like, well, you know, I don't really want to. But then when it rained, I was like, let's just go. And she was like, yeah, I don't want to be out in this rain. And we only had one day of rain. It was half day. And we were inside of it. It was my friend Christy. And she was like, oh, after 30 minutes, she was like, this is the best aquarium I've ever been in. And she's been in more aquariums than anybody because she really takes her kids out to do things. And, you know, they have an ocean building and then they have a rivers building. And so we were able to do one building and, you know, now it's not like they don't have big killer whales and things like that.
Right.
But the way the thing is just laid out, it's I can't even explain
it. I love aquariums. I will always choose an aquarium. I've been to many of them myself.
Amazing. It is just an amazing, amazing aquarium. And then we left. You can leave. You can go eat somewhere downtown. It's right downtown. The aquarium is right along the Tennessee River, which is what's so amazing is that you're on the most significant body of water in the state, you know. It's built right there, which is right downtown. The whole downtown area is built along the river. So you have a big river walk, and you have an IMAX, and you have the aquarium, and you have all these different restaurants, everything from sushi to places that make fried green tomatoes and fried pickles to places that have fried chicken and barbecue. Restaurant. And they have a couple of chains, but most of them are independent, like independent restaurants down there. And so we're able to go have a break from being inside. The weather broke. We went. We had some lunch, and then we came back into the rivers. You know, really great day. Another amazing thing they have attached to the aquarium is they have this. They have a big boat that will take you and ride you into the river gorge. I had never, ever, ever done this, and it's a new boat, and it was manufactured out of New Zealand. This thing is amazing. It's almost like a ride and also like a way to see the river. And they have people, they'll tell you like, you know, what kind of birds and trees and about the river gorge and the area that you're riding about. And then, you know, and they go real fast to get you deep into the gorge. And then they slow down and you can go upstairs and have a cocktail. And a couple of the kids got to get behind the wheel. Exactly, right? And it's we did it at like sunset at the end of the day.
Yes.
Really lovely. But what's so funny is that, you know, there's other boat traffic on this river. So this boat is capable of going 55 miles per hour. It's big. There were like 150 people in the belly of this boat. You're a boating guy, right?
Right. I've been on a lot of boats.
So it looks like an enormous speedboat. And so you're underneath while it's going really fast and they're talking to you. You've got windows all around. 55 miles per hour. But they see a boat. The captain stops, like immediately stops. And it stops in like 5 seconds at 55 miles per hour. So what happens is you thrust forward, the nose of the boat goes forward, and this huge spray happens. So it's like a ride, you know, for the kids. I mean, they have a really great time. And then once you get into the gorge, like I said, they go really slow and you walk upstairs. And that was a really amazing experience as well. So we did downtown Chattanooga, some fun there. Then we had a couple of days where we left downtown Chattanooga and we went to stay at the along the Ocoee River. We stayed in these cabins called Welcome Valley Village. I'll give them a plug. They're fantastic. This is where my very good friends Scott and Jerry met on my 30th birthday because I rented out this whole campsite for my 30th birthday.
That's awesome.
2 years ago.
More like 2 decades.
Exactly. But anyhow, and we went tubing in the river, floating down. You can float where it's not white water. You can float in tubes. And we went on hikes to waterfalls. And we camped out and had s'mores at night. We had 5 or 6 kids, all between ages of like 6 and 12. So 7 and 12. So they were good age. They kind of like, they enjoyed each other. So
ready to play.
Yeah. And so we had some great time there with s'mores at night. And, you know, it's just gorgeous there. It's just the weather was stellar. And they've had a lot of rain at early part of the summer. So the water's really high there. But it was really, really fun. And then we went back to Chattanooga after a couple of days of being on in these cabins in the river. And we did probably what I think are the two of the, you know, the Chattanooga Choo Choo's are really big. Tourist attraction. Also, if you've driven anywhere along I-75 and you've headed to Florida or anywhere around Kentucky, Tennessee, probably even Arkansas, I don't even know, Southern Indiana might even have signs for this, or Ohio, you will see signs that say Sea Rock City, Sea Ruby Falls. Often they're painted on the side of barns. And these are two attractions that Candace talked about that are... you know, there are two big mountains in Chattanooga. There's Signal Mountain and Lookout Mountain. And Lookout Mountain was has a lot of, there's a lot of Civil War history in Chattanooga, but it was where the Confederate soldiers were on lookout. They were way up high and they could see down into the valley and watch the Union troops. And But this mountain on top of it is this enormous tourist attraction. And I hesitate to call it, it's like a garden. It's like a rock garden. There are these enormous, the size of buildings, I mean houses, rock formations, all on top of this mountain that is become like a park that you can walk through the rocks, and you're up on top of the mountain, and there's one point where there's like a lover's leap and a bluff where you can look out of a you can see seven states. It's just beautiful.
Amazing.
It's from up there. And they have a cafe up there. Fantastic food. You can walk around. There's gardens. There are some gnomes. There's a little kitsch for the kids. They have...
for the kids, please.
For the kids.
For the lesbians.
For the lesbians. You walk in this one building and they have all these nursery rhymes, but they're all done in like glow light colors. It's very funny. It was the very end of the whole thing. But then the rest of it, that's a little kitschy, and they have a lot of gnomes.
I like it kitschy.
But you forget about all those nursery rhymes. But anyhow, the rest of it is just
like beauty.
Natural, unbelievable beauty. They have a deer park where they actually have deer, like tons of deer you can look at. They have you see hawks flying around while you're eating.
Wow.
Really amazing. And then as we drove down after spending the morning there for many, many hours, probably with lunch, 4 hours, then you go to Ruby Falls. Ruby Falls is it's 40 to 60 feet tall waterfall inside the mountain. They don't know where the water source is from. They've tried to figure it out. They know where it flows out from, but they don't know what causes the water to cascade down and flow.
Weird.
It's an interesting story how they discovered the place. But anyhow, you go there, you go into the entrance, you take a very fast elevator down 25 or 30 feet into the core of the mountain.
Holy.
And then you have a tour guide, and you go down in a group of like 30 people, but there's tons of people down in there, and you wander, and it's like caving. It's like spelunking.
Basically, inside a mountain.
You're inside a mountain, and then you walk for a really long time, and they stop you.
That has always appealed to me so much. It's like the idea of like being inside.
It is fascinating. There's nowhere we have to crawl. I mean, any age can do it or something like that. I actually even think you could probably be handicapped. They have a couple of squeezy places. They have that at Rock City too. They have a thing called Fat Man Squeeze where the rocks come really close together and you have to squeeze through it. I think there's an alternate route if you don't, and they have a swinging bridge too at Rock City, which is super fun. I was the only adult that got on that with the kids, by the way. That's why it's good to bring Aunt Amy along. But in there, and then you get to this point where they say, you know, when we walk in here, this is where the falls are, and they talk about the man who discovered it, and which is fascinating how this man crawled through and found this opening, and 17 hours later was able to stand up and found these falls, crawling.
For 17 hours?
17 hours when he first discovered
it. I call that mental illness.
And he took his wife. He came back out and said, "You can't believe what I found." Her name was Ruby. And he brought her, and she followed him back in.
For all those hours?
No, because when he went back, he didn't take as long,
I
guess. I don't know what it was. But still, it was like 10 hours. We were like walking through it, and I was like, okay, if somebody told you they'd give you $1 million, would you be able to crawl? No space.
For 10 hours.
If you knew that there was an ending, like you were heading someplace, right, that you'd be able to stand up.
I don't know.
I was like, I don't even know. I was like, man, I am too.
I even went to crawl into my bed to like grab something that dropped. You know what I mean?
Well, I was like, I was scared I would get claustrophobic in Ruby Falls. And I'd been before, but I don't remember it. Or maybe I'd never been. I don't know. But you go in there, and they have like a little music show, and they light it up. And it's enormous. I mean, it is something to see.
Wow,
I mean,
it sounds fab.
So, you know, those are the touristy things. But we did both those in one day. And that actually, the 2 days we did that, we rode the River Gorge later. And then we went to this great place called Champy's and had fried chicken. I was like, the fact that I just went to Rock City, this most gorgeous place, sat and had fried green tomato BLT up on this bluff watching hawks like fly over and the deer and the antelope play and seeing seven states from that vantage point, and then I climbed through down into a mountain and like saw a 50-foot waterfall in the middle of the mountain, and then I came up and I rode a river gorge, and then I was like, let's go get some fried chicken. I mean, it was best day on earth.
That's so great.
Champy's fried chicken. It's got some cayenne in the batter. It is spicy. You sit outside. It's like a college beer garden with lots of fried chicken and great sides, and Oh, we had the best time.
That sounds awesome.
And then we strolled by the river and got ice cream that
How many
night.
Days was your trip altogether?
You know what? We were in Chattanooga and the Ocoee River area 6 days. 5 or 6 days.
That's a nice vacation.
Yeah, it was 5 days. We drove. Some of us drove, some of us didn't. I drove. So it was a 10-hour drive and stay with my family.
And how were the kids on the drive?
The kids were great. They were great. It's not that bad of a drive.
No, I mean, I just drove.
Yeah.
16 or 18
Yeah.
hours one way or the other.
And you can fly. Like I said, this trip is really easy. You know, like, I mean, if you ever think you want a whitewater raft or raft, you know, I highly recommend going to the Ocoee River and finding a place down there. And the outfitter I would tell you to go with, which is who we went with, our tubing, because you have to be 12 years old to whitewater raft. Uh-huh. You have to be. It is a class 4 river. It is. I have rafted it many times. It is. But we did sit by the riverbank and watch the people kayaking. And there's one little area where they just practice. They practice all their skills, like rolling over and everything. And we just sat there and watched, you know, people kayak for like an hour. We just sat on these rocks right by the road and watched people kayak. It was fascinating and fun. And but go to OAR, Ocoee Adventure Rafting. OAR is who I would recommend.
Very clever.
And there's outfitters all along there.
Spell
there's Ocoee. Zip lining. OCOEE. All those names. Chattanooga, Ocoee, Chickamauga is an area, the Chickamauga battlefield
they're
around there. They're all Cherokee names. You know, this whole area near where I lived in Cleveland is where when the Trail of Tears started, when the Cherokee Indians were driven out of North Carolina, out of Cherokee, North Carolina, which is actually
the Trail of Tears isn't me leaving Hydrate at 4 a.m.
It does not. It does not mean leaving Hydrate, the gay bar on Halsted Street at 4:00 a.m. No, it means it was when they were pushed out and they were pushed west, you know, and they were driven out of their homes. And they started this long walk, and much of it was in the wintertime. And many members of the Cherokee Nation died. And I'm part Cherokee. My family is, my grandmother is Cherokee and Irish. Her great-great-grandfather was Chief Jolly of the Cherokee Nation. So you would not know it by looking at me. But, you know, the first place they stopped because people were dying was in what became called Red Clay Preservation, and they named it Red Clay because the dirt is all very red. And then, of course, they went farther and farther west. Some of them, you know, were able to go. But, you know, obviously Indian tribes were pushed out. Native American tribes, Indian American tribes were, you know, pushed out of the 13 original states and pushed out, you know, of their homes because the land was so fertile and and great, you know. Is one of the great
crimes. So there's lots of history there too, right?
Lots of history there. And so all of the names, you know, the amusement park around that area is called Lake Winnipesaukee. You know, there are all these fun, weird names that I never thought anything
of. It's true in England too, right? Like this, so like this Narragansett, I'm wearing the sweatshirt.
Yeah, Narragansett.
Narragansett Indians.
Uh-huh.
Or Lake Winnipesaukee in New Hampshire.
Oh, you'll have a Lake Winnipesaukee.
Yeah.
We have a Lake Winnipesaukee.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Right? It's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of history with that.
So it just goes without saying, too, we had great barbecue. We had great fried chicken. We had great sweet tea. We had great food. You will eat
and
amazing
have a great big ass.
Food. Now I have a great big ass. But don't look skinny today.
I know. I'm so kidding. I just have to say it. I mean, we had great barbecue. We had great fried chicken and a great big ass.
Great big ass. But, you know, hey, if you want to go down there and visit, I highly recommend it. And, you know, you can...
I'm sold.
You can send me a message if you have a question about it. But hopefully the past couple of shows have told you some fun things that you can do. And there are so many places to hike, mountain bike, you know, river raft, kayak, canoe. There are so many lakes. We actually went on the Lake Hiwassee, another name.
Are there in the downtown...
And paddleboarded one day, the last day we were there. We just got on a lake and, you know.
In the downtown area, are there any sort of gay-friendly establishments?
You know, there's a gay bar in Candace, and I talked about it in the last show. I did not go there this trip. I have been before.
And is it integrated?
But it is
men and women?
It's integrated. It's you know, straight people go there, too. It would be on par with, like, a Mary's Attic or Hamburger Mary's or something like
everybody
that.
Everybody hangs
you know,
out.
Which, you know, hopefully, if you're listening to the show, you kind of know what that is, because there's one in D.C. as well.
In Tampa.
You know, yeah. You know, I mean, I just, once again, I think that, you know, Chattanooga was listed as a very popular place for homosexuals to live, just based on quality of life and especially for gay women based on what they like to do. There have been some cities in North Carolina.
And by what they like to do, do you mean softball and chocolate labs?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yes, I do. Softball. You know, they do have a minor division baseball team. We did not go see that, but that's right downtown, too. There's great shopping.
That's fun because I'm actually not a huge sports fan or a baseball fan. But
mountain biking.
I do love like the farm teams, like the Pawtucket Red Sox.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. And so I think that there's, you know, there's just a great quality of life. There's a, you know, employment is good for women. Employment's good for men and women. But
right,
when
but
you
no,
look at, for lesbians particularly, you know, Asheville, Tennessee, Asheville, North Carolina, Chattanooga, Tennessee, some of these places have become really great places for gay and lesbian people to live because they can find employment. There's good protections for, like I said, there's not gay protections. I mean, there is no employment protections of housing. We just did a news story a few weeks ago that the first city, a town, Collegedale, which is actually known for the Seventh-day Adventist College, surprisingly enough, is the first township city in all of the 300 plus cities in the state of Tennessee to employ any kind of protections for GLBT people. But it's literally 15 minutes from my front door. So my family's front door. So, you know, change is coming slowly but surely. But what I will say is that a lot of people I grew up with have come back there or are part of a young generation really wanting Chattanooga and that area to change. And so as we know, you know, a lot of this homophobia is an age thing and it is dying out. And so, you know, Chattanooga and that area, you know, is a young, vibrant, I mean, there are a lot of like river rats and some hippies and, you know, a lot of VW buses. You know what I mean? There's
You're
the people who
language.
Like want to have a kayak on top of their, you know, their, head. They want to do on top of their head, on top of their kayak, on top of their van or Jeep. And, you know, they just want to get in the water, man. They just want to have a good run.
It's an interesting preview for our next conversation, next show. Because my last stop before I came back home from my 3-week trip to the East Coast was in the literally the lesbian center of the universe, which is Northampton, Massachusetts.
Okay, I'm so wanting to hear about that because that's where I'm going next.
Oh my God, it's literally.
I'm gonna plan that because I
talk about it's. I mean,
you kind of gotta plan New England because it gets really booked up really quick.
Yeah, because there's so much to do because you can get everywhere very quickly, right? Yeah. You can like wake up in Northampton and be in Vermont in a couple of hours.
Yeah,
and then
this
you know.
Is my next thing, so I'm so eager to hear you talk about your trip, and we should let people go and do that.
Go do it.
And now we're gonna when Mitchell's with us next, we'll be talking all about New England and his. You had such great adventures, and
it was really
I haven't even talked to you about it.
I know because we haven't seen each other
because
then you went away again.
Exactly.
Took a little trip, right?
So head on down to Tennessee, folks. You know they produce people like me, and that's homosexual and hopefully warm and friendly
and southern
and southern. So let them shed a little of their hospitality on you as they did on me, and now we're gonna get to know the quirk, the sass, and the fun. And the splash of cold
Southern
water that is Southern New England with Mitchell Fain in our next show with Mitchell. Have a good week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.